Doug, I got into this race because, frankly, I think that we need to do better in the 6th Legislative District. We have some very serious issues that are facing the state of Washington and the people in the 6th Legislative District, and I think we need to rely more on facts and science, and I think we have some difficult decisions that need to be made, and I think that I'm best equipped to make those decisions.
So you want to start into that list of issues you think are most important?
Well, obviously, the main issue is our response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We have some people who are saying, still seem to be saying, that it's a hoax or a conspiracy of some kind. I think that we absolutely need to take this seriously. We need to wear our masks, wash our hands. We need to social distance, and we need to make sure that when we get to Olympia, how we respond and how we react to the pandemic is going to be critical. I can get into that, the economic side of it. I mean, I'm not one of these people that thinks that giving tax cuts to billionaires and out-of-state corporations is the way to emerge from the pandemic. I think that figuring out ways to put paychecks into the hands of workers to build our infrastructure is the way we're going to get out of the pandemic.
So when you talk about people who are not taking this seriously, do you include your opponent as part of that?
You know, it sure looks that way. You know, her doubling down on her conspiracy theories you know, just even something as simple as wearing a mask certainly would suggest that she's not taking it as seriously as we need to take it. I mean, we need to emerge from this, and the only way we're going to do it is by following doctor's orders. And, I mean, the fact is, I think a lot of what she's saying is a distraction. You know, as a fire commissioner, I've made sure that we have the right equipment for our people. To answer your question, no, I don't think she does take it seriously.
How well do you think, and I think I've asked you this before, how well do you think the governor has handled it?
You know, I think the governor has handled it well with the information that he's had. I mean, this is the type of thing that requires a national response, and that national response has just been little or no leadership in that regard. So under the circumstances, I think the governor and the state has handled it as well as they can.
Where would you question where the governor has handled it? Are there areas where you think he could have done something differently?
You know, I'm not going to second guess these responses. I mean, sure, I have some personal opinions on things. But again, I'm not the expert on these things, so I'm not going to second guess.
How do you think about how the governor handled the unemployment fraud situation, where outside entities made fraudulent claims, cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars? How do you think that the state government, the governor and his administration, handled that?
Well, Doug, I presume that they're still handling it. I'm not sure. I presume that they're still investigating and will take whatever actions they can to recoup. But remember, at the time, people were, you know, having a hard time, you know, making ends meet, buying groceries. You know, there might have been some mistakes made, but again, this is a situation where I hope that the investigations will uncover where the fraud occurred and where the money went, and hopefully recoup some of that.
Well, I mean, they've recouped some of it, but yeah, there's still a lot of money that's outstanding. I think even the state admits that.
Well, it's easy for us to sit back and second guess on all of this. We have to remember the context. Remember that people weren't able to make utility payments and pay rents. Of course, that's another issue, but you know, I'm not sure what could have been or should have been done differently. I'm not going to sit and armchair quarterback that.
So the legislature goes to work in January, and the budget is obviously one of the big issues. Where are the areas that you, I mean, in terms of the budget, how would you, what are the things you would be asking questions about in if we have to cut spending, if we have to raise taxes, how would you approach some of that?
Well, you know, and that's a good question. And the devil, of course, is always in the detail on things like that. But I think that we absolutely have to be looking at closing loopholes, corporate loopholes, taxes. We need to recapture some money that's slipping through our hands. As far as budget cuts are concerned, yes, everything's going to be cut. And I think we need to take a look at the entire picture. And when the when the legislature is in session, we need to make our decisions then. Obviously, the people and the services to individuals, I want to make sure that whatever cuts are made don't adversely or disproportionately affect the people who are least equipped to handle budget cuts.
The coronavirus has brought out the need for paying attention to public health, because public health has borne the brunt of a lot of the work that has been done. And yet the public health officials say we don't have stable sources of funding to be able to do our work. How should the state, where should the state find the money for that? Or should the state make more public health spending a priority?
Well, I mean, obviously everything's a priority, right? We are going to have to make some cuts and we're going to have to find those monies. Again, I think we can do a lot of recapturing. I think that, the people and the entities, corporations, who are better able to pay taxes should start paying their fair share of taxes. I don't think they're paying them now. And, you know, is that the only answer? No. But it's a very good start.
Do you think there's the appetite for handling a big tax discussion like that?
Well, I think, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, that's a serious situation, and I think we're going to have to revisit it. Am I strongly in favor or not in favor of different things? I need to know what the options are. We need to go to Olympia and just see what our options are and, you know, govern our actions accordingly. Is there an appetite for it? I don't know, but, you know, leaders have to lead.
So lawmakers have also been talking about police reform. The governor created a commission to look at different reform ideas. First of all, at what level is that discussion best handled? The local level, the state level, or both? How do you view that?
Well, I think it's probably, you know, we're going to have to look at it both. Certainly the state has to offer guidance to municipalities, but I think locally we really do need to look at reforms. I think we need more layered responses. You know, the fire department does that. When somebody has an Alpha or Bravo type emergency, which is, you know, relatively minor emergency, they send an alternative response unit. Likewise, I think the police don't always have to come in with guns drawn. Sometimes they, people need social workers. That's not to say that I don't support law enforcement. I mean, I think I said before that if somebody's breaking into my house, I want the police coming with the canine units and everything they've got. But I think it's unfair. I think we call upon our police to do far more than what they are equipped to do. And I don't think it's fair to the police.
I know the Sheriff Knezovich has talked about, you know, we could solve a lot of this problem if you simply give me the ability to fire the worst of the police officers without having them bounce back to me after going through grievance processes. Is that something that you approve of?
Well, I do. Again, I think we do have to look at qualified immunities and the various immunities. I think that, and frankly, I'm a very strong supporter of labor. But, you know, I think that he makes a point that it's hard to get rid of bad apples, and maybe it should be a little easier to do that.
So I guess as I think about the accountability measures, again, best done at the state level, best done at the local level.
Well, again, I think we have to do it at both levels. I think that's something that's, the state has to give us the models. The state has to, I think, identify and define best practices. But I think that the local municipalities and cities, you know, ultimately, they know their people, they know their police departments, they know what they need. So it needs to be, I do want to enable and empower local jurisdictions to to offer the level of service that's appropriate. But again, I think the state needs to provide some guidelines there.
I want to turn to wildfires because until about Labor Day or so, we had a pretty easy wildfire season, and then it all kind of swooped in on us. How does the state need to approach the idea of preventing and fighting wildfires? Is it going to take more money, and are you willing to appropriate more money for that project?
Well, yes, and this is something that I have a certain amount of expertise as a fire commissioner. The fact is, when we have these wildfires, the health concerns, it's not just the costs of fighting fires, it's the damage to property, injury, and loss of life. Those are all absolutely critical, and we absolutely have to manage our forests better, or we're not going to have forests. I think that if you take a look at the Commissioner of Public Lands, Hillary Franz, you take a look at her 20-year plan, and it calls for fuels mitigation. It calls for better construction methods, and it calls for cleaning up our forests. And I think that's what we're going to have to do. I mean, that and again, that's part of the picture. I mean, the rest of it, of course, is the climate change and the global warming situations that we have. It's not going to get better, but we need to improve the health of our forests. And I think that Commissioner Franz has a good handle on that. I think she needs to be supported on it.
And she's proposed an insurance surcharge, a liability casualty insurance surcharge, $10, $12 a year, something like that. Is that something you could get behind?
It's such a minimal amount of money per policy that, yes, absolutely, I can get behind that.
So I want to...
I was somewhat aware of that. I mean, when they were talking about that, I was involved in some of the discussions, and frankly, it would generate enough money, and I don't have the figures at hand, but it would definitely assist and help with how we deal with wildfires.
I want to hit you with one other issue of interest to rural folks. How has the state handled wolf interactions with livestock in Northeast Washington? There's controversy about whether the state should be killing wolves in the packs that are apparently going after livestock up in northeastern Washington. What's your view on that?
I have to tell you, Doug, that's the very first time anybody has ever even asked me that question.
Okay.
I can honestly tell you that I've not given any thought to that. Certainly, I don't want ranchers and farmers have to be able to make a living, and wildlife and management, it's critical, but how that's to be done, I'd really have to take a look at it a little more carefully. Yeah.
So you're now an elected fire commissioner. What are your expectations if you win the race to become a state legislator? What do you think this is going to be like? What are the types of issues that you're going to be most drawn to working on?
Well, I think that clearly, as a fire commissioner and living in northeastern Washington, the fire service and how we respond to and manage public lands, I think, is something that I'm very interested in. I'm also interested in, the public safety in general, whether it's law enforcement, fire suppression, that sort of thing. Education is absolutely critical. I certainly support the McCleary decision, but it's not just that. I mean, we need to make sure that we promote an environment that's conducive to technical training. I love the idea of union-sponsored apprenticeships. It's kind of like the original value on display situation where people learn their trades from people who already know the trades. Other priorities, and I think it's going to be economic. I do think that we need to make sure that our infrastructure projects in Eastern Washington are funded to the extent possible. And another issue that a lot of people have raised with me, Doug, and that is access to broadband. We just don't seem to have there's so many areas, even in town and on the periphery of the cities, where people just don't have access to the internet. And as we're seeing with distance learning, children who don't have access to adequate broadband or computers, they're at a terrible disadvantage. I mean, people are seeing their doctors now online. I know that Lisa Brown, as head of the Commerce Department, has been working very hard to expand access to broadband, and I would have to support that. I mean, that's something that's going to pay off dividends into the future, but we need to deal with it now.
So how would you, and a little follow up on that, how is the best way to go about doing that? Is through the state has a broadband office, and it's working with folks in local communities. In fact, I just interviewed the head of the broadband office, and he said, you know, we're trying to work with the folks in those communities so that they can try to access some of the federal money that's available. Do you continue letting the private sector continue to expand the broadband, or is that a state function? How do you view it?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not sure how that would look. I certainly think that private business, they seem to have the expertise and the skill to provide it. The issue, of course, is when it's 100% profit motivated, there may need to be some incentives to build. But by the same token, it's a utility, a monopolistic utility. So, there is governmental regulation that goes with that. And but as far as the government just taking over, putting in broadband or putting in, cable and that sort of thing, I don't know that the state's equipped to do that, and I don't know that they'd want to do that.
So, Tom, I'm also been asking the question of, you are asking people for their votes, and you've been through that before as a fire commissioner, but I'm also curious, as you as a voter, when you look at your ballot, what are the things that you, how do you evaluate candidates like you, and what does it take for them to get your vote?
Well, okay, and that's a very good question. The first thing that you have to look at, I think, is what do they bring to the table initially? I mean, for myself, I'm an elected fire commissioner. I've been a lawyer for 30 years. I mean, I certainly understand how laws are made. I've been on the receiving end of laws all these many years. I have to look to see, where do they get their money? Are they getting their money from out-of-state entities? Because I think that's where their allegiances will lie. I'm not saying that you should reject corporate money or anything like that, but if you're not getting the support of individuals and of organizations composed of people, you have to look to see where the allegiances are. I'm not an individual whose tax cuts for the wealthy is job creators. They're not. People with paychecks are the ones who create jobs. So I look to see, what are their positions on those types of issues? Are they focused on the public, or are they focused on out-of-state entities?
Do you think Washington's legislature has been effective the last 5-10 years?
There's always room for improvement, of course, but I think that we have a relatively strong economy. Certainly we did heading into the pandemic. Is there room for improvement? I suppose there is. Of course there is, especially now. I mean, we're going to have to do some very creative thinking in going forward and reestablishing a strong economy.
Tom, those were my basic issues. This is your chance to raise anything that you want to raise.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate the opportunity to be heard. I've said all along, serious times require serious people. People, the one thing that I can pledge to people is that I'm not going to threaten you with lawsuits. If you print something I don't like, I'm going to tell you the truth, even if you don't like to hear it. I think that the American people and the citizens of Washington will make the right decisions if they're given the correct information and not misleading information. I hope that people will look at where I stand on these issues, and I hope that they will vote for me come November. The ballots are dropping, I think, as early as the 8th, and this is an absolutely critical election. I sometimes think that this election isn't about Democrat or Republican or liberal or conservative. It's simply about science versus science fiction, fact versus, you know, fiction. So I would ask people to cast their vote for me. And again, I want to thank you, Doug, for the opportunity to be heard.